This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a goner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A goner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
We have arrived to Friday. We have also just about arrived to Grapefruit League play. Outside of scheduled off days, this is the final night that you have to go to bed without the Cardinals playing a baseball game, hopefully deep into maybe October. I don't know. We can hope for sure. But yeah, again, there'll be some off days in there, but baseball to be played tomorrow. We're still about a little bit more than a month away from games that matter being played, but baseball is going to be on your radio tomorrow. You can't beat that. Grapefruit League opener tomorrow afternoon, Cardinals Marlins, 12:10 first pitch. Eric Fetty going for the Cardinals. Just glad to be able to talk through that. Welcome into the program. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. As always, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a voice message. If you call or text, it's 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call and text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air or leave the voice message via the Odyssey app. We have a jam-packed program tonight. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by Lloyd Sam. He's part of the team with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, City SC. They are opening up their season tomorrow night on what's just a crazy, crazy sports day. So we're going to be mostly Cardinals over these 2 hours, but we certainly wanted to talk just a little bit about City SC. So we're going to do that with Lloyd Sam in our next segment. And outside of that, nothing but Cardinals between now and 8 o'clock and really until 9 o'clock, because when we get done, we've got the Gas House Gang tonight, and today's show is myself and Bernie Miklas. So you can just kind of strap in, sit in, do whatever you want to do, and be locked in as we do mostly Cardinals. But yeah, a little City SC coming up in our next segment. Benjamin Hockman from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He's going to join us at about 6:35. Next hour, we'll have our Friday conversation with our guy, Kevin Wheeler, talking Cardinals baseball with him. And then we will hear our daily audio from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's going to be coming up at about 7:35. So let's go through. I always try to set the scene, tell you what happened each and every day at spring training. It was a short morning where only one pitcher had a live BP session. That was Michael McGreevy. So to put that in perspective for you, over the last couple days, the Cardinals had been running five separate fields of live BPs, with each field hosting two or three pitchers. only one pitcher today. So Michael McGreevy threw a live BP session, did it to a number of the catchers who were working with him, and it seemed to go well. Jimmy Crooks hit a home run off of him, so that was good for Crooks, not great for McGreevy. But McGreevy talked about afterwards how it was a really good learning moment for him. So that's what happened on the field as far as kind of the talking points. Talk through what's going to happen tomorrow with Eric Fetty throwing one inning and then Matthew Liberatore throwing two innings. They're being very they're being careful in how they're ramping up pitchers. So an Eric Fetty is gonna throw one inning as opposed to kind of the standard two innings that you get a lot of times from starting pitchers right at the end of spring training. We've only seen Sonny Gray throw one live BP session to hitters. Some of the pitchers are kind of on a little bit of a different path. That doesn't really mean anything. It just means that's the plan that they're on for now, and everything is working towards making sure that they are ready for opening day. Talked a little bit today about the roster depth, especially when it comes to pitching, and how there's a good chance that we could see a lot of shuffling this year between the Cardinals and Memphis. Some talk about Rodair Munoz, a guy who throws really, really hard, but has a hard time controlling his pitches and getting him in the zone. Cardinals took a bit of a flyer on him, moving him from being a starter to a relief pitcher, hoping that that's going to be able to turn into something. So those were most of the things that were talked about today. Again, it was not a long, extensive day of baseball stuff. Everybody was just getting ready for tomorrow. Yesterday, and we didn't do the normal Sports Open line. We had the countdown show yesterday. But yesterday, the Cardinals got into Roger Dean Stadium, and they did their stretching and their warm-up and everything inside of the ballpark. So you can just feel the fact that baseball games are going to be played starting tomorrow. And even though it hasn't been that long since the first full squad workout, that was on Monday. So today was just the fifth full squad workout. It feels like forever ago that they had their first full squad workout, and it feels like it's an appropriate time for baseball games to be played, and I'm glad that is going to start tomorrow, and looking forward to it. Again, we'll have the broadcast for you. 12:10 for first pitch. Eric Fetty will throw the first inning. Matthew Liberatore the next two. Like I said, mostly Cardinals baseball today on the show, but did want to mention City SC for just a few moments because they are opening up their season tomorrow night at Energizer Park when they take on the Colorado Rapids. Lloyd Sam's going to be on the call for MLS Season Pass. He'll join us in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G
just a ginormous sports day tomorrow in the St. Louis area. We've been talking about it. Cardinals baseball here on KMOX. The SLU basketball game will be bumped over to our sister station, 97.1 FM Talk. And how about City SC? They begin their season tomorrow night at Energizer Park as they take on Colorado. If you're listening to the radio broadcast, it's on our sister station, Y98. If you're watching it, you are watching it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. And Lloyd Sam is going to be part of that broadcast. He joins us right now. Lloyd, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm good. I just got off the plane, walking. There's going to be a lot of noise, so you guys have to just bear with me, but happy to be with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, you sound great. So we're in good shape right now. It's wild how quick the off season goes in soccer and in Major League Soccer. It doesn't feel like that long ago the season was coming to an end, and now things are picking back up again tomorrow.
Oh my gosh! For me, it felt long. I'm not gonna lie to you. It felt too long. I don't like it when I'm idle. So I've been looking forward to getting back to work, and this has been fun this week, just preparing for the game.
Yeah, what do you think about City? Because it's been interesting off season. They brought in a new coach. They've brought in some more players. A lot of those players were brought in at the transfer window last year. They just made a trade with one of the faces of the franchise, Indiana Vasilev, going to Philadelphia, being reunited with Bradley Carnell. I mean, this is a very different team right now than what a lot of fans are used to seeing.
Yeah, it is very different. But I mean, what is something I do like is, as you said, last season when the new guys were brought in, Hartel, Toyota, the response, the amount of goal involvement between the two guys, I felt like that was really encouraging, and that probably made everybody excited for this season. The only difference is, obviously, now you've got a new manager in, so the tactics might be a little bit different. You might not play a 4-2-3-1 like you did last year, so you wonder now about learning the new system. The guys have already hit the ground running. Now the system might change. I'm interested to see how that goes now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So what do you know about Olaf Melberg, and what are you expecting to maybe see different with him at the helm of the team?
I think right now it's a big unknown for everybody. I can't say everybody. You've seen a little bit of preseason, a little bit of three at the back in there, and things chopped and changed a little bit. But I have got to say, it's largely an unknown. When you look at his managerial career, what is remarkable is the first 2 years he was ever a head coach, he got back-to-back promotions. So that screams out first and foremost when you look at his record. But it'd be very difficult to really guess and say what to expect. I think that's part of the fun of tomorrow's game. It's a new manager. You're not quite sure what to expect, but you hope that he can really whisper into the ears of his main guys and get them going.
A lot of City fans were shocked when Indiana Vasilev, a guy who was a day oneer with this team, had really been a face of the team and was a great guy and had been getting some opportunities, but his spot on the team with some of the players they brought in, all of a sudden he wasn't at the top anymore. He's been reunited with Bradley Carnell as he goes to Philadelphia. What was your reaction when a guy who is so closely connected to this team ends up getting dealt?
My reaction, that's funny. I saw that yesterday when I was going about my business, prepping for the game. I'd already done like my note card for him. And I was surprised, but on the other hand, I was wondering where everybody's going to play. Because mm-hmm. I've been hearing rumors about maybe a 3-5-2. So that kind of makes me feel like, where does Indiana Vasilev fit in that formation? It almost feels like the 4-2-3-1 can accommodate a lot of guys, but the 3-5-2, you lose out on the wingers and the guys that play wide, if that makes sense. So I was surprised because Vasilev is a good player, but it felt like something had to give. He's too good to not start every game.
There was a lot of controversy last year if they were going to play two strikers or one striker. Sounds like you think maybe they're going to go with the two down low. Is that for this team to score goals the way that they would like to, how important is it to have multiple guys on the field who can put it in the net?
Oh, my gosh, so important. And in some of the research I've done, and something I'm going to talk about on the broadcast tomorrow, like Klaus had 5 goals last season. It's like I had to do a double take when I looked at that. Again, I was 5 goals. I was like, that was the top scorer. So a big emphasis. And I think the signings of Marcel Hartl, what a great signing. When you look at his goal record from Bundesliga 2, wow, I think he had 33 games and 30 goal involvements, got St. Pauli promoted, and then left to come. What a great acquisition. I really do like that signing because, you know, the goals he scored, and that's going to take the pressure off at Klaus and the Leuven. You've got Kreuter, you've got Hartl now. I feel like there's a few guys of the right age, mature age as well, to, you know, score those goals and take pressures off the others.
It's amazing. We're going into year number three of MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, and you guys just do an incredible job of covering the game. All the games are on the service. There's a lot more soccer-related content. How much fun is it to be part of this thing where fans can enjoy all things MLS at the right there at their fingertips?
Oh, man, it's fun, man. I think it's just getting better, making little tweaks to the website and things like that. Or to the app, I should say. It's been so much fun to be involved. And the new season's coming. You know, as I said, I think I started by saying I don't really like the off season. So, man, I'm really loving this job. This is the best job in the world, personally. So, I don't take it for granted. It's cold in St. Louis, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of vibes to warm it up by kickoff tomorrow.
Yeah, well, stay warm, enjoy the city, enjoy the game, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the line at some point.
Thanks for having me, man. All the best tomorrow.
Awesome. Very good. That is Lloyd Sam. He's going to be on the call on MLS Season Pass there on Apple TV. And, of course, you can listen to it on Y98 as well. You can do the audio overlay with the Y98 broadcast. So many different things that they do. And, by the way, Nobody is paying me to say what I am about to say. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of some inside information. For those of you who happen to be T-Mobile phone subscribers, that is who I use on my phone service. They do like the T-Mobile Tuesday thing where they give you free stuff each week. This week, it was actually the MLS season pass. So maybe you're somebody who doesn't check that out very often. I would encourage you, if you happen to be a T, I'm just trying to save you a few bucks, okay? Just trying to save you a few dollars. If you are somebody who normally subscribes to the Apple TV MLS season pass thing, you can go get it for free if you have T-Mobile. I just redeemed mine today. So just trying to help you out a little bit on that one, because any dollar that you can save is certainly good. I know Lloyd said that it felt like a long off season for him. It's so fast. There is no off season in soccer, it seems like. And that's, I've mentioned this a couple times. You know, 2 years ago when the season came to an end in the playoffs and Bradley Carnell was still the head coach, they lost, you know, that playoff series to Kansas City. And in the post-game press conference, you would have thought that they were playing again the next week the way that Bradley Carnell was talking. It didn't feel like they were going into an offseason. It just felt like they were going into another week, and that's kind of the soccer mentality. One other note, by the way, I didn't ask Lloyd about this because I know he's been traveling all day, so just in case he hadn't seen it, I didn't want to put him on the spot and be unfair to him. But Alfredo Morales has been signed. He is a veteran midfielder. He signs for the 2025 season. It includes an option for 2026. I would assume that he's not going to be part of this coming up tomorrow, but that's part of what's going on in terms. You know, they got a lot of general allocation money from Philadelphia in the Indiana Vasilev trade, from what I read online, and there's a lot of people who are a lot smarter about this than I am for sure, but from what I read online, that doesn't have to be the only thing that they do with that general allocation money, but maybe it is the start as Alfredo Morales joins us, City SC. So that is going on as well. When we return, we are going to talk with Benjamin Hockman. He is, man, I'll tell you what, the Post-Dispatch, they've been doing a great job as well of covering the Cardinals as they always do. They've got so many folks who are down here covering the team, and Benjamin Hockman joins us in just a moment from Jupiter, Florida. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We continue to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals Spring Training. We're joined right now by Post-Dispatch STL Today sports columnist Benjamin Hockman. Ben, great to see you. How are you?
Great to see you, man. It's fun being here in Florida.
So the number one narrative when we got here was the Nolan Arenado stuff. We spent so much time talking about in the offseason, and then he gets here and nothing has changed. What's your overall takeaway of everything that we've seen with this Arenado stuff?
I mean, it's awkward city, and especially that day when the Cardinals, or actually who was the decision maker here? It was Alex Bregman. Mm-hmm. When Bregman goes to Boston, and then the Cardinals and Arenado realize they're going to have to get married again, if you will, or throw away the divorce papers before they signed them, because here was Arenado back with St. Louis, and he was just, look, Mozeliak's a professional, Arenado's a professional, Marmol's a professional. They got through it and they had good conversations, it sounds like. But yeah, it's awkward. It's not just awkward for those players. It's awkward for guys like Michael Ciani, who thought maybe they would start all year in center field, but now Nootbaar is going to have to start in center because Arenado's at third, and that means Gorman's at second maybe, and Donovan's in left. It's just this domino effect.
Yeah, somebody like Thomas Tejasi might not even make the team. We're asking Ollie all the time about offense versus defense in center field, and we know that he likes the defense, but the team didn't score runs. Like, there's a domino effect to all of this.
Yeah, and what are the 2025 Cardinals supposed to be? What are they going to be? I mean, this is a roster, and I guess I'm speaking in a lower voice because we're near the clubhouse, and some Nolan could walk out at any moment right now. But I mean, yeah, on paper, this is not a team that's going to win probably more than 84 games. Now, that might get you in the playoffs, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, how can you maximize what you got? And for me, it's just getting the offense out there on the field. And if you got Nootbaar instead of Ciani, like, and look, you can bring in Ciani in the seventh inning, you know, to be like a, if you will, like a closer out of the bullpen, except not pitching, he's playing center field. But the reality is this team needs to score runs. They were 19th in slugging percentage last year, I believe 27th in hitting with runners in scoring position. So something's got to change with the bats in their hands.
We've also heard the terminology change. It's not a reset anymore. It is now a transition. And to me, it feels like transition is more about what's going on in the front office, where when they were talking about a reset, that was more about what was going on the field. Would you agree kind of with that?
Yeah, and I think Arenado was the key player that would have made it a reset on the field, if you will. And the idea was, if he's gone, if he's with Boston, then you can put Gorman at third and have him have 500 at-bats and all these innings in the field, and Donovan at second. You can have all these different guys get playing time. And now, for better or worse, for better, of course, for the baseball team in 2025, but maybe for worse for some of these prospects, Arenado is going to get 500, 600 at-bats this year. But yeah, you're right. The transition more is in the front office and the decisions they're making and how that's going to affect the future, because Chaim Bloom's going to take over after the season is over. And what are they going to leave him in the cupboard, if you will?
One thing that I don't think has changed is the season is still contingent. If they're going to be successful, the season's still contingent upon Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker taking steps forward. So even with Arenado being back, even with Gorman playing different spots, like, those two guys are still going to play every day. They're still going to be given every opportunity to succeed. And if they do, I feel like this could be an okay team.
Yeah, those are good points, Matt, because you think back to, we're sitting on a park bench outside the clubhouse in Jupiter. We were, if you will, sitting on the same park bench 365 days ago. We're like, man, the 2024 Cardinals, they could be pretty good if Walker and Gorman get going. Now, we didn't know that Goldschmidt and Arenado would have these epic, you know, downfalls offensively. But there was this idea that these two guys, Walker and Gorman, could be key cogs to a playoff team. Well, here we are, fast forward. It's still the same human beings. They both had really down years. Gorman set a dubious mark for the highest strikeout rate in franchise history. But there's optimism because there's a new hitting coach, Brant Brown. You talk to anybody around here, they smile when they talk about Brant Brown. He's an energetic, likable guy. And look, it's spring training. The Cardinals are 0-0 right now. But in that clubhouse, there's optimism that Brant Brown has made Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman smarter and better hitters.
Much to the chagrin of many of your readers, you have been publicly supportive of Oliver Marmol, who is not a overly popular figure within the Cardinals fan base. What is it about? Because I'm the same way. I like Ollie. I think he's a good manager. What is it about what he does that makes you feel like he is the right guy for this job?
Well, right away, and this is kind of inside baseball, but they have these Pythagorean, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. I apologize to my 8th grade math teacher who's probably listening. But
Clayton education, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was more of an English and history guy. But there's something that helped me out, like a Pythagorean.
Pythagorean?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay.
It's on the radio, so it has to be true, right?
Yes.
That said that the Cardinals outperformed what their record should have been last year. Well, who was in charge of making all the decisions? Oliver Marmol. Moreover, you look at the way he handled the bullpen last year, very masterful. So there's things to like about him. But for me, and you and I have similar career paths. We both spent time in Colorado covering the NBA. We've been around coaches of different sports. And there's something about Marmol and the way he speaks about being a leader as a coach, and the way he presses the right buttons, the way he communicates with his players, that just really energizes me. And I just, for lack of a better word, I just like listening to him talk. And I think you talk to a lot of these players, and they'll say, like, I like playing for him. And look, there's been successful managers over the year who were jerks, and the whole thing. And in football, notably, how many coaches were so mean, but they did it, or Herb Brooks in hockey, they're so mean, but they do it to bring out the best of their guys. Marmol is different, but I just think he's very, very intelligent. And come send me a DM when they win the 2026 World Series.
When you wrote that column, that was very much in favor. I enjoyed reading the comments because I felt like you got to walk into my world as the post-game show host for a second.
I think about you all the time. I drive because there'll be games I'm driving home and I'm listening to you and I'm like, this Matt's got to put up with these calls, and every game, it's like every game's the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And look, we're both from St. Louis. We understand the passion of the fans, no question about it. But gosh, sometimes like the phone calls or the emails are like, it's Armageddon 162 days a year, or if you will, however many losses they had, 80 whatever losses.
What does this team need to do this year? Where the expectations externally are so low, what does this team need to do for Chaim Bloom to look at Ollie and say, what you're basically saying, that this is the right guy?
That's a great question, and I don't know just yet if Chaim has a guy. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible. I mean, he's not going to broadcast it now, but he might have earmarked a guy a year ago that says, like, when I'm in charge, this will be the manager. We don't know that. But I think Ollie can bring out the best out of a lot of these ball players, and if he brings out the best of, and along with Brant Brown, the aforementioned Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, and the Cardinals are fighting for a wild card in this season, I think you look at Ollie and say, like, all right, we've got something great right here. Why would I need to bring in somebody I knew from Tampa or knew from Boston?
Maybe I'm just getting caught up in spring training, and it happens. I love baseball. But to me, all of a sudden, especially with the Arenado being back, like, I don't know if the team's going to be good, but they went from being kind of uninteresting because they didn't do anything all offseason to now I look around and I can see some interesting pieces and some interesting things going on.
The Blues are in a retool, rebuild, whatever, not rebuild, reset. And it's been hard. People like Robert Thomas is really good. Kyrou can be infuriating at times, but there's not that many like players you're like, I can't wait to see him play tonight. I can't wait to tune into the game against Winnipeg on a Tuesday to see such and such. Such. Well, with the St. Louis Cardinals, though, you tune in, you get to see Mason win every night. This is already one of the more exciting players in the National League, and he's going to turn 23 next month. If Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman become the studs they can be, or we hope they can be, or I think they can be, that's entertaining stuff. Newt Barr, I mean, there's definitely, and Contreras with the swagger, there's likable dudes on this team that could make this a fun season. But I think, Matt, it's going to really hinge on how well they play in April, because if they start out poorly, even if they get great in May, even if they have the best May ever, a bad April can really sink the fans in the season.
Last thing, most important thing for you, you wrote a column and you had the words, don't call it a reset, in your column. When you did that, did you have the lyrics of LL Cool J in the back of your head when you're doing it?
I hope this doesn't get your radio station sued for infringement of copyright, but like, I was singing the song. I was like, dun, as I was typing it. Don't call it a reset.
There it is. That's what I wanted to hear. Benjamin, you're the best.
Always fun seeing you, Matt.
That's Benjamin Hockman. We'll take a break. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're back at it on Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauley. We are in Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training, the eve of games getting started. Grapefruit League action coming up tomorrow afternoon. Smile on my face just as I say that. We are going to see baseball being played tomorrow as they match up against the Marlins. We'll have it for you right here on KMOX. First two games tomorrow and Sunday will both be here on KMOX. Bunch of games on KMOX, bunch of games streaming through Cardinals.com. So you can head to Cardinals.com yourself, go to the schedule, and you'll always see the broadcast information for that. But good to hear John and Ricky on the broadcast, Klaibs on the broadcast beginning tomorrow. So happy to be able to share that with you, the great listeners of KMOX. Wanted to touch on this for just a moment. And for those of you who are subscribers to The Athletic, I think you probably generally like the product that you get. I'm a big fan of what they do at The Athletic, and I'm a big fan of Katie Wu, who we've had on this show for sure, friend of the program. She wrote an interesting story that published earlier today that really outlined everything that happened during the Nolan Arenado saga negotiations. Like, I don't want to get, I always pause whenever I talk about stuff like from The Athletic, because I don't want to give so much away that you don't want to go read the thing. It's a really, really good piece. So go read it if you can. But it tells the story. It was really a storytelling piece. It told the story of starting with John Mozeliak going to Denver when the Cardinals were playing the Rockies at the end of last season, when they had already made the decision of what plan they had for the organization going forward, and going and speaking with Arenado one-on-one to let him know what it was going to look like for the team moving forward and see if he would be okay being put on the market. And that was the starting point. And it takes you through all the twists and turns and the turmoil and everything until we get to the point that Nolan Arenado reported to camp and was once again reinstalled as the everyday third baseman for the Cardinals as of this past Sunday when he got to camp. There was a lot in there. Again, don't want to give all of it away, but it was interesting that of the teams that he had, that Arenado had indicated he'd be okay being traded to, one of them was the Houston Astros. So John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, he operated as if the Astros were a team that Arenado would be good at being traded to. Well, then all of a sudden, the Astros trade away Kyle Tucker, and it was looking less and less likely that they were going to bring back Alex Bregman. So when Mozeliak had come to an agreement with the Astros on an Arenado trade, all of a sudden Arenado said with his no trade clause, you know what? I don't know if this is the best play. He didn't know if they looked the same as when they were originally on his list and just wanted a little bit more time. And there wasn't that time, and the Astros ended up pivoting in a different direction, and they went and acquired Christian Walker instead. And they didn't really have much of a need for Arenado at that point. Although that being said, Jose Altuve is moving out to left field, so there was still a spot for Arenado if they wanted to pursue that. But really, that deal seemingly was dead once Christian Walker made the decision to become a Houston Astro. There has been a lot of criticism of John Mozeliak, just in general, just in principle. Like we've discussed this many times. He is such an unpopular character right now for Cardinals fans that there's not much of anything he can do, right or wrong, that will get a positive reaction from Cardinals fans right now. And Mo doesn't need me to defend him, but because this was kind of the number one story on, you know, Cardinals social media today, I wanted to at least talk about it for a little while. There are moments, there are times where there's no bad guy. That nobody made a mistake, nobody did anything wrong. And I think this is an example of that. Because I'm not mad at Arenado for saying he was good with the Houston Astros, and then the Astros do things to change themselves. And when Arenado took a second look at who the Astros were becoming, saying, ah, you know what, I'm not so sure on that one. That's his right. I understand that. If the Astros would have done nothing, if they would have been the exact same team when he was originally on the list, like he still would have had that right, but I think you at least kind of bat an eye at it. But
But you get, I get it. I think there's some understanding there. For Mozeliak, you know, there's a ton of criticism towards him about not getting an Arenado deal done. Well, what exactly was he supposed to do? Because Arenado gave a list of reportedly five teams. Most of those teams on the list, those teams were not interested in Arenado. You can't force a team to be interested. You can't go to the Dodgers and say, hey, I know you're comfortable with Max Muncy as your third baseman, but I need you to stop believing that, and I need you to instead believe that Nolan Arenado is a better third base option for you. You can't force them to think that way. You had a deal in place with the Astros. That went out the door. You had a deal done with the Red Sox as a contingency for Boston, and that went out the door when they end up signing Bregman. That's what I don't understand. There's a lot of reasons to be critical of John Mozeliak. The downturn of this team in recent years and the decision to go with some, you know, mid-level free agents and not put as much into player development and let some of the staffing and some of the infrastructure and some of the data to fall well behind what's going on from an industry standpoint. We can be critical about Mo on those things, and I think we're being fair when we levy those criticisms. When they made the decision to change all this stuff, you don't change things that you're happy with. You change things when you do a self-assessment and you say, we're not doing as good of a job as we can be doing. So the criticism that I might lay towards a John Mozeliak on all those sort of things, I think he and the organization have already done from an internal standpoint, and that's why they're changing all these things. But I don't know what the criticism of Mo is here. Do I acknowledge the optics of priority 1, 2, and 3 is to trade Nolan Arenado being the talking point at winter meetings and then it not happening as being bad optics? Yeah, I'll acknowledge that. Bad optics, it doesn't look good. But is there real substantive complaints about how anybody has handled this situation? I don't see it so much. Maybe Mo could have held back a little bit on what he said, but are we really going to be that critical about a guy who's being incredibly honest? Like, I have a hard time with that. I have a really hard time. And there are times where I'll say, you know, somebody's maybe saying a little bit too much, or they're being a little bit too honest, but I don't even like it when I say that. I don't want to be critical of somebody for honesty, right? I don't want to be critical of honesty. That's not something to be critical of. So it's a really weird situation the way the whole thing played out. I'm really glad that Katie wrote the story that she wrote, because now there's kind of a historical narrative of how this whole thing went down. You know, bits and pieces of it had been collected. Even what Mo said to us, we talked to him a lot. I can't remember what conversation it was, but Mo told me that when he made the comment at the winter meetings that their intention was to trade Nolan Arenado, that he thought he had a deal done at that point. I assume that's the Astros deal. I don't know for sure that that's the deal he's referencing. No other deal was brought up in Katie's article for sure. So I think it's safe to assume that's what it was, but he thought the deal was done, and then it ends up not being done, and things sometimes end up happening that way. But something I certainly wanted to talk through a little bit. I encourage you to read the story for yourself if you want to, available through The Athletic. We'll break for the top of the hour news. Coming up in hour number 2 of the program, we've got our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler. We'll do our fun with audio, listening in to Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're in Jupiter, Florida, and we're right here on America's Sports Voice, your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.